Proverbs 25:5, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established. Verse 15. I apologize. Right chapter, the wrong verse. Verse 15 says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word and to send the message that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn what you have for us tonight. And Lord, especially help us to bring honor and glory to you in all that we do and say. But Lord, I pray that you would especially help me to only say what you would have me to, and to deliver your message accurately to your people tonight. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All of us want our voices heard. Is that right?
Yes.
We want to make our point, especially when we have a difference of opinion with someone.
Mm.
Or when we feel verbally attacked or challenged, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, that's our flesh.
Right.
It's not the work of the Holy Spirit
mm.
that's pushing those feelings. Okay? Proverbs 15, if you want to turn back there a couple of pages. Proverbs chapter 15, well-known verse. I memorized these two verses as a teenager. In fact, we had to quote these verses before every meal, three times a day. So they're ingrained in my mind. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. It says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A soft answer to an insult or a harsh comment doesn't come natural to us, but it does turn away wrath.
Mm.
It throws water on the fire and it dampens the flames, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we do it. Just to give you an illustration, I need somebody to insult me. And I know that's everybody would love that opportunity, but somebody needs to stand up and just give me an insult right here. This is an illustration. It doesn't have to be true, or it could be. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Bruce, you get high all the time. You park in the same parking spot every Sunday.
Well, that's because I'm trying to make you mad. How about that? You know, there's... How many of you get insulted from time to time? Okay, it happens, right?
Yes.
Sometimes it happens or it comes from our family members.
Yes.
When we get insulted, we can fire back, and you know, I can fire back at Brian and get rustled up a little bit and get mad that he would even say that I parked in the same parking spot or that I get high all the time. And it's true, I do. All right? But it's high up in a tree. Or I could, you know, when he insults me and says you get high all the time, I could say, you know what? You're right. Brian, you're right. I apologize. I'll find another place to park. I don't mean to bother you by doing that. That's wrong of me. If I respond that way right after the insult, do you think he's going to want to fire another insult at me?
No.
Of course not. But after I say something in a louder tone,
yeah,
in a meaner tone, then all that's going to do is fuel his fire to shoot another one back at me, right?
Right.
We know that, except when we're in the heat of the moment.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright or appropriately, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Nobody in here wants to stand up and say, I'm a fool, Brother Bruce. But we all act like that fool sometimes, don't we?
Right.
Because it just pours out of our mouth foolishness. Things that are hurtful, things that are mean, things that are really done at a knee-jerk response because of what someone has done or said to us. Remember, forbearance is the command of the temper. I like that word command there.
Yeah.
Because it's basically telling, I'm telling myself, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to speak right here. I know better. Because the last 4,700 times I did, I got in trouble. I'm not going to do that right here. I'm going to zip it. The command of the temper, the deliberate control of your temper, the restraint of passions. I heard a guy say that one time. He used that word because he lost his temper at a game and he was the coach. He said some things he shouldn't have. And afterwards he came over to me and he halfway apologized and said, I'm sorry, Brother Bruce, but I'm just passionate about sports. The restraint of passions. We can blame it on being passionate, or we can blame it on the truth. And that is, I sinned. I blew it. I just let myself go. And honestly, I was being the fool.
Yeah.
Because it was just pouring out of my mouth with no control. No valve at all. It was just wide open. You know, people are going to say things or do things that grate on your nerves, right?
Yeah.
And many times, it's the same people.
Mm.
It's repetitive. And for some reason, it still catches us off guard. That's the amazing thing right there.
Yeah.
As though it would never happen again, right?
Mm.
You know, these things that happen repetitively, you would think that we would learn, you know, this is going to happen again, and this is how I need to respond when it happens.
Mm.
Instead of letting it catch us off guard and all of a sudden, and then we're reacting in a way we shouldn't. But why is that? Why is it that these things catch us off guard repetitively? I think it's because we don't have our guard up. I think it was Paul that said that we need to put on our spiritual armor.
That's right.
Why? So that we don't get caught off guard by Satan's fiery darts. By the way, those fiery darts sometimes come out of the hands of people.
Right.
Or out of their mouth.
Yeah.
I've never heard Satan speak.
No.
But he's influenced people to do things and say things to me. That's where the darts come from.
Mm.
It's not likely that you're going to respond in ill behavior in the spirit of love. The soft answer.
Mm.
If you haven't been spending quality time with the Spirit. If we spend quality time with God, with Jesus, in Bible study, in prayer, in Bible meditation. By the way, listening to preaching. I don't know if you do that or not. But it's a good thing to do.
Amen.
When you have to drive a long distance for some reason.
Yeah.
Our inclination is to turn on something that soothes our spirit. And you know what? Sometimes preaching can do that. And then sometimes it won't soothe your spirit. It'll convict it.
Yeah.
And we need that.
Yes, amen.
Okay? And maybe that's why we don't do it sometimes, because we don't want that conviction. But it's good. We need that. Okay? So when we spend time with the Spirit, it's likely and more common that the Spirit is going to have control over us instead of our flesh having control.
Amen.
So when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get caught off guard. This is important, I think, especially if you live with people.
Mm.
How many of you live with people? I heard somebody say one time, you know, I'd be a lot happier person if it weren't for people. I had a nurse tell me that one time. She was fixing to draw blood from me. I said, have you had a good day? She says, not really. I thought, oh man. I said, what's the matter? She says, people. Uh-oh, I'm one of them. And you're fixing to stick me. But the truth is, that's who Christ died for. Right?
Right.
Even those aggravating people.
Yes.
Even that neighbor that you have that you can't stand, but you're kind of, you're stuck. And, or that person that you work with. Jesus died for them. Can I help you with something right here? When it comes to dealing with these people, getting caught off guard, saying things we ought not to say, things pouring out of our mouth. Most of the time this happens because they're wrong and we're right. But I want to reveal something to you right here, and that's this. Sometimes you're not right. I know that's hard to accept and admit and to agree with, but it's true. I'm not always right. In fact, I seldom am right. Okay? But you're not always right. But that's how we approach these issues that we're dealing with people, is that we're right and they're obviously wrong. But here's the great news. You're not always right, okay? Sometimes they have good reason to be upset with you or I.
It's true.
I'm talking about when people come up to you and say things that could be hurtful, insultive, or mean. And we get upset right off the bat, right? We get caught off guard. We want to retaliate. Maybe they're telling the truth.
Amen.
That's one good reason to defer our anger, so that we have time to really think and say to ourselves, is there any truth to what they're saying? Am I really acting like that? Did I do that? Did I act in a way I shouldn't have, or say something I shouldn't have? We need that time so that we can then turn back and go back and maybe apologize.
Amen.
Whatever we do, we need to respond with a soft answer, like Solomon said in Proverbs 15, verse 1. Do you know it's in place to apologize when you've made a mistake, when you've done something you shouldn't have, you've offended somebody, or you've hurt somebody's feelings?
Right.
Whether you've done it on purpose or not, doesn't matter. It happened, and an apology is a good thing.
Amen.
Okay? When Brian insulted me about parking in the same place every time, all I have to say is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll park somewhere else. I didn't buy that parking spot. It's not mine. I'll be glad to park somewhere else. I apologize. But Brother Bruce, what about when you're not wrong? What about when you're right and they're the ones that's wrong? Well, first of all, every man is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
You got to remember that. But we're not. Solomon makes that clear. It's an assumption. We assume that we're right, always. Right?
Right.
But it's very likely we may not be. And if that's true, then once again, an apology is in place. Mm-hmm. Whether you're sure that you messed up or not, you can at least say, look, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. Clearly, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. A soft answer turns away wrath. This is important because if you're like me, you run into issues with people that do things and say things, and sadly, many times, if we add to the fire, it can turn into something that we never really intended it to turn into. Right?
Right.
When you have two people who can't or won't control their mouth, you have a hostile situation that Satan is using to destroy family relationships, marriages, friendships, and even life itself. What you have is two people who are operating in the flesh, not the spirit. You have two people who didn't put on their spiritual armor.
That's right.
Their guard is down. They're both bent on proving their point. I've been there. Because they're right. Both of them. They think. It's better to be happy than right. However, when one of these two people chooses to forbear, the fire is put out. Remember, forbear means the command of the temper. Restraint of passions, rebuke self to pause or delay. That's what forbear means. And when one of those two people chooses to respond with forbearance, the fire is put out. And it may not be completely out, because I know, and I've been that person before. There's been times when I would fire something at Jeanette, and she would quietly respond, and I would feel like an idiot to say anything else after that. But I'm still upset inside. How many of you have been there?
Yeah.
You don't want to say anything because they're acting right, and I know I'm not, and I just don't want to make this worse, so I'm... But it does put water on the fire. It might still have a little ember burning down there, but it's not as flaming hot as it was.
Amen.
Right? The problem is that it's a real battle to become that person who chooses to forbear. There's something in us, by the way, it's the flesh. There's something in us that when we think we're right, we need to prove it. Patience and forbearance is ultimately persuasive, and a gentle answer gets the desired response. Could you imagine how peaceful it would be when both people are choosing to forbear? Could you imagine living in a home where both people are choosing to be patient with the other one, choosing to give a soft answer when the other one is not on their A game. Paul said in Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And of course, charity and love are simultaneous. Mm-hmm. Love fuels forbearance. Hate fuels unrestrained actions and words. We don't like to admit it, but when we're not acting in love, we are acting in hatred. Put the flesh to the side and allow the Holy Spirit to produce love in you. That's the only way the Holy Spirit is going to produce the fruit of the Spirit in you and I, and that is to put the flesh to the side.
That's right.
That's what Paul was meaning when he said, I die daily. He's constantly having to restrain himself, zip his mouth, stop himself from doing or saying something that he ought not to, daily. And when we put the flesh to the side, we act out of love, then things will be done in a perfect manner. Perfect. That's that home where both people, or that relationship between two friends where both people are choosing to forbear and be patient with each other. It's easy to show love when someone is lovable. The real test is to show love when they're not.
Yes, amen.
And there's going to be times that they're not. Because there's times when I'm not. And you're not.
Yeah.
And what do we want them to do? Forbear.
Amen.
That's what we want them to understand, put up with our issues. Right?
Right.
So all I'm saying is, forbearance, even though it's not a word that we use a whole lot, it is something we need to do a whole lot. But we can only do that when we have our guard up. We can only do that when we have given the Holy Spirit control while we have chosen to get out of the driver's seat and let the Holy Spirit control what we do, what we say.
Yes.
And it's not likely that we're going to even do that if we're not spending time with Him on a regular basis.
That's right.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would forgive us when we've not chosen to forbear with the people that You've put in our life. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be patient with each other. Help us to show love towards each other. Father, help us to recognize the vital importance that it is to put our flesh to the side and give You control. And I thank You for that, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and turn 505. 505.